Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, it wasn't quite the ass-kicking that the first two games of the Subway Series were, but the Mets yet again beat the Yankees in what I felt, BT, was an absolutely pathetic display from the almighty greatest franchise in the history of sport, New York Yankees. And I want to hear the people today who tell me that I'm nuts for saying this team is no good. How could anybody who has actually watched this team for now 7 weeks think that the New York Yankees are good when they field the embarrassing lineup that they did yesterday? You could tell me that, wow, with the injuries, they want to go against, you know, they're going against the lefties, and give the Mets credit for that, throwing another two lefties at them, but they have to have Jones in the lineup. They have to have J.D. Davis. Those guys shouldn't be in the big leagues. If they are, they shouldn't be in the starting lineup. And if they are in the starting lineup, they shouldn't be batting first and fourth. So you could say that you're forced to have them in the game, then you should not be having them hitting first and fourth. It hurt the Yankees last night. And Severino was right. This is not a team. This is a two-man show. And if you get one of the guys out and pitch around the other, you're going to win, just like the Mets did yet again last night.
You know, everybody made a big deal out of Severino's text to his buddies. I mean, I think everybody that follows baseball has been texting their own buddies the same thing.
Yeah.
It's so obviously, painfully apparent that this team just, they don't have it. I mean, I don't know how many different ways to say it here. I'm actually getting to the point, and this is a strange place to be as a Yankee fan. I've been here as a Jets fan, all right, where, remember what I, and I was here with the Yankees a couple of years ago, actually, but it's more with the Jets where, you know, in previous years, you hope they lose this game, then maybe get a better draft pick, and maybe if you lose enough, then this guy's going to get fired and things are going to change. I'm starting to think that I want the Yankees to stumble and continue to stumble going into the trade deadline to force Brian Cashman not to mess around, because right now, you know, you hear it, oh, maybe they're going to reunite with Chad Green. Stop. The Yankees, this isn't a little tweak. The Yankees need some surgery here. They got to bring in some pieces. And I don't feed too much into, Sal, the, you know, the hype of the Subway Series. Don't get me wrong, it's right. Fun. I do enjoy it.
Right.
It's different than playing the Blue Jays or playing the White Sox or playing the Twins. Yanks-Mets still resonates with me, but not to the point where it's over-the-top insanity. It's almost 30 years we've been doing this, so right. I'm a little desensitized to it, but could you at least please show us that you care a lick about beating the Mets? It's not like you just split the previous series. You lost two games to the Mets, and last night, that Triple-A, if that, lineup that they trotted out was an embarrassment, and it's all Cashman's fault.
The Yankees are supposed to be a World Series contender this year. The Mets were barely supposed to be a 500 team, and the Mets have taken the first three of the matchups, of the four matchups, head-to-head with the Yanks. Obviously, Cole on the mound tonight, he's got to be the stopper. Otherwise, it's going to be further embarrassment. Look, honestly, the Mets have bigger fish to fry about Atlanta coming up after this series, so the Subway Series is now in, at least from my perspective, they won the Subway Series. That part of it, the Met-Yankee draw, yeah, it'd be nice to sweep the Yankees, but that part of it's over. The Yankees are a mess. This isn't about just losing to the Mets. Look at the New York Yankees! And you're saying, BT, you hope that they bleed out here ahead of the deadline, which is now less than a week away, so that Cashman could do something. I think it's the opposite. If they continue to lose here, how can you justify trading Spencer Jones for a piece that's not going to help this team? There is not a move or two moves that can be made that can save this team. That's how bad they are. Keep telling me about the landscape and the postseason in the American League, the way that it looked while they'll be a playoff team. Not if they continue like this. They aren't any good. Whether it's the starters, whether it's the bullpen, whether it's the lineup, whether it's the defense. DJ LeMahieu again, yes, they're in an Ole play. I mean, the Yankees are, the New York Yankees are an embarrassment to a point where the Mets just literally pitched around Aaron Judge all night, and they should have done it again in the ninth inning. They got got away with one pitching to him. But Diekman, think about this. The Yankees, the New York Yankees, at home, down a run, with the top of their order coming up, with Jake Diekman, who shouldn't be in the major leagues, on the mound, and they can't even get to him, getting walking Soto and striking out Aaron Judge. I mean, that's how bad the Yankees are. I don't believe that they can be fixed.
I mean, their play is indefensible. We're trying to explain away the same results, and I mean, I'm done with it. I really don't have anything else to say, which is very odd because my profession is to speak. What else do I say about this team that I haven't already said?
Well, what you could say is that they're not worth saving.
Well, that's where I totally disagree. That is a fundamental disagreement between you and I here.
And at what point are you going to get there? Like, you're going to give up Spencer Jones for this flop?
I don't know what Spencer Jones is going to be. I don't. I have to give this team a chance with the big three. I do think Gerrit Cole's all the way back. Hopefully he proves me right tonight. Pitches well. I think he will.
You think the Yankees are a better team than the Mets?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Based on what exactly?
Well, based on the record. You can start with the record.
Oh, because they played well, what, to start the season the first 2 months?
Well, I mean, it's...
How's their record head-to-head?
It's not good.
Okay, well, the Mets have won three.
Understood.
So, we're going based on the record of the two teams...
But I don't go on that. It's not football.
Me neither, but you said based on the record. I'm going based on what I've seen for the last... Since the end of May, the Mets have been one of the best teams in baseball, and the Yankees have been one of the worst.
I'm not saying the Yankees are good.
And by the way, it doesn't matter...
I'm not saying that.
It doesn't matter Mets versus Yankees, but it just emphasizes...
That all matters a little bit.
Well, but it emphasizes the point about the Yankees not being...
I don't disagree. Like, right now... You know, I took Latin in high school. I forgot most of it. If I remembered it, I would say it in Latin. Yankees stink! I mean, how else to say it?
Right.
They're not good. I could say it in pig Latin, which we used to do in grammar school. I mean, I could say it a million ways sideways. Not good. But I do fundamentally push back strongly. If they make the right move, that's why I'm so still passionate about this season. There's been other years where I just knew deep down, like, Judge gets hurt. What are you going to really do? There's nothing to do to salvage the season. Last night, if Chisholm's in the batter's box or Ryan McMahon's in the batter's box, to me, it's I can't guarantee a different result. It's baseball. I'm not going to be that presumptuous, but it certainly increases the odds of performing better. And then you factor in the Judge and the Soto. You know, to me, it is salvageable. If they don't bring in big guns, it is criminal. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Last night was a defeatist attitude. I tweeted before the game that, like, this is the lineup that you, like, I say this because this is very important to me. I feed into it. You and I have fun, and I do want to beat the Mets. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I don't like losing three straight to the Mets. But since it was introduced in 1997, it's been almost 30 years. So a little desensitized to the Yankees-Mets hype. But still, I don't want to get broomed by you guys. And
especially this year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Given the Yankees' expectations, given the Yankees' start, given the Mets' modest expectations, the Mets' bad start.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say you can't lose four games to the Mets, but if you do, it's just pathetic. You've already lost three. And last night, I think the most aggravating part was there was almost this concession. Like, it seemed, and I know that they did care, but the presentation in the lineup was that they didn't care if they won. That's unacceptable.
Think about the roster. I mean, they're pinch
hitting. It sucks.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
So two guys are going to help this?
Because of the two guys they already have. And that's the only reason, Sal.
By the way, I know we touched on it a little bit. I just want to hammer it home again.
Yep.
How can you, in what world are the Yankees and their front office? I'm not even going to put this on Boone because I don't believe he makes the lineup out. And if he does, then that's a major issue.
Yep.
Like, in what world, analytically or with your eyes, do you think that it's okay to have Jones leading off and J.D. Davis, a guy who couldn't make it with the Mets a couple years ago, whatever it's been, J.D. Davis was cut by the Mets or traded by the Mets, can't make it with the Giants, got cut by the freaking Athletic A's, the Oakland Athletics, or the A's who aren't even a real franchise, and the Yankees have him batting cleanup. Like, if you're going to have those guys in the lineup, bat them 8th and 9th.
Yep.
And even then, it's bad enough that they're in the lineup. They should not move Verdugo, move Torres up to cleanup and move Volpe up to the leadoff spot, who's been hot lately. You don't want to juggle Volpe? Hey, is he a big leaguer or not? What, are you going to handle him with kid gloves? Volpe's been on fire. Why not move him to the top of the order? Why not move Gleyber Torres behind Judge, make it a little more difficult to pitch around Aaron Judge? It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. There are very few options. That's on Brian Cashman. I'm with you on I don't say fully exonerating Aaron Boone, but again, last night, we had a couple of quality at-bats. Two runs and five hits. And listen, fundamentally, we'll get to these calls.
By the way, how about Verdugo? Did you see him bunting?
I did. Of course.
What is Verdugo? First and second, he's
with nobody out.
For the 8-9 hitters.
I know.
Are you out of your mind?
I know. A little softer. Might be a hit. He just hit it too hard. But that's what happens when you're desperate. That's what happens when. And by the way, Verdugo, could you make the play in left field?
Yeah.
Did you see that? No. You got to make that play.
I was more mad at McNeil for not. I mean, I don't know how you don't score.
That was crazy. I don't know what he. And they were saying on the broadcast, like, I mean, at the worst, you go very aggressively three quarters. He almost got lapped too. To not score on that.
He should have been
ridiculous
on third even before that on the base hit to the right side. It was a poorly played baseball game by both sides, but the Yankees took the cake last.
They took the cake and they took the L as they should. They're 0-3 against the New York Mets. They've got the Boston Red Sox coming up after tonight. 3 in Boston, 3 in Philly. I mean, there's a very good chance that, and I do think they'll play well tonight because of Cole, and I think we'll see a different lineup.
Agreed.
But if they lose tonight, I mean, it's not inconceivable that this team goes 2-5 over the next couple of games. And I got to tell you, I have pushed back at Sal. He has said for a while now, playoffs aren't guaranteed. And I've said, stop. I still believe they're going. But now I'm starting to look at that wild card standing just for the first time. I really studied it today. And I don't like what I saw coming at me. Not that the gap is so little, but it's what the Yankees put on the field every night combined with the dwindling, padding, if you will, in the standings.
Right.
Cashman, you better get to work or you failed as much as any GM in the history of any sport in any team in the city. You have those two superstars and Cole making three. You better wake up and do something. Disgraceful.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Your calls.
They are awful.
Mm-hmm. I understand. 888-808-1019 is the number. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Corey is in Stamford. What's up, Corey?
BT, Sal, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, Corey.
Listen, this team sucks. They suck. The team sucks. The manager sucks. Everybody sucks except for Judge, Soto, obviously, maybe Volpe. What Verdugo did, why would you bunt with your fast? Okay, you bunted, all right? With Narvaez behind you. Why would you do that?
Narvaez.
Why would you put Narvaez ahead of LeMahieu, who we know has been terrible lately, but you trust him more to do what needs to be done in a situation like that? You're going to bunt for Narvaez to score Volpe? And if you're going to bunt, you got your fastest runner at third base now. Why don't you have Narvaez bunt again and do a suicide squeeze? You expect Narvaez to drive in the run? You have that much trust in Narvaez? Look at the lineup that they put out. It's a disgrace. It's embarrassment. The team sucks. The manager sucks. They need a complete overhaul. They're not going anywhere this year.
Thanks for the call. Sorry, Corey, to cut you short there. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. I'm not going to say the manager sucks and they need a complete overhaul, although I do think that I would lean that way, that this is not something that can be fixed at the trade deadline. Look, they have all-world talent in Soto and Judge and Gerrit Cole. It's not enough. Since Cole has come back, the Yankees still have not been able to get out of their rut. And I know he's just starting to pitch like himself as of late. But still, with Soto and Judge healthy in their lineup, BT, it's nowhere near enough. Nowhere near enough. Think about that. The Mets strategically go, okay, we're going to beat the Yankees. And they did this in the first round. And I was ripping them for saying, oh, how are you pushing Severino or going with the lefties?
Mm-hmm.
They go, we're going to throw lefties at him, and they're not going to be able to beat us. And we're going to pitch around Aaron Judge. Finally, they get the hit. I've been screaming it for months. How anybody in baseball could throw Aaron Judge a strike with this Yankee lineup? You got to be an idiot to do so.
Yeah.
And the Mets finally took a hint here and walked him four times, and it killed the Yankees. Nothing they can do about it.
$307 million payroll, and you have Jones and J.D. Davis and Narvaez playing.
And all in the same day. Like, why give Austin? I know it's lefty-lefty,
but know.
Austin Wells has been on fire.
He's swinging a bat well. I think that, I mean, of course I get resting him. Of course. But
couldn't you have him DH?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know that the Mets aren't they're not throwing a complete game last night. Going in, nobody throws complete games.
Even Quintana was good, but geez, once these guys come out of the game in the fifth inning, the game comes to a screeching halt.
It does, but I think that this should change as well. Like, as much as I understand and embrace for the most part, although there are reverse splits, whatever, but, you know, lefty-righty, righty-left, of trying to get a more favorable matchup, avoid the lefty-on-lefty, specifically less righty-on-righty, I understand that baseball. It's baseball 101. But I think that because pitchers go, you know, so shallow, if you will, into games, I would rather have Austin Wells get two at-bats against a lefty, even if they're a little uncomfortable. But I'll take my chances of him running into a slider or something else that's hanging or a fastball that misses its spot. And then you get into the final two at-bats, probably when Quintana's gone, and there's a chance you're facing a righty. You're in the flow of the game.
Right.
You've been playing for the last 90 minutes, whereas...
It's an excellent point.
It's just, it's overthinking it.
It is overthinking it. Who's better? Who would you rather have up? I don't care who's on the mound.
Yep.
Lefty, righty. You want Wells up, Austin Wells up, or you want Jones up? I mean, come on, you want J.D. Davis or you want Austin Wells?
I don't even want these guys on the team.
Bingo.
Forget about being up.
And then BT, what? Like, okay, if they have to be on the team out of necessity, which, you're right, it shouldn't be the case. Why do they have to be in the starting lineup? And even if they do have to be in the lineup out of necessity, why are they 1-4? That's going to be your sandwich for Judge and Soto? Jamai Jones and J.D. Davis, two guys who, if you cut today, wouldn't sniff a big league contract elsewhere.
I don't have an answer. It is inexcusable, and it's really unacceptable.
Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. BT, I wanted to ask you what your feeling was on Aaron Judge not swinging the bat there. And listen, I'm not trolling Judge. I wish we had him on the Mets.
Yep.
But what he saw that entire game with Davis behind him, you got to swing the bat. Just like we get on Beltran for not swinging the bat. Mm-hmm. Judge has it. It's Jake Diekman. It's Diekman. Why is he not swinging the bat?
Well, first of all, I'm not gonna defend somebody who makes an out. I mean, you made it out. It's baseball. I get that. Would I love to see him swing? Sure. It was a very quality pitch too. I mean, it was a tough pitch. It's baseball, you know.
Well, you're right, BC. I do think also in a weird way the concept of Mendoza walking him, they almost lulled Judge. Like Judge, all of a sudden, is like, oh wait, someone's gonna throw a pitch to me. And it almost worked in some kind of reverse psychology, maybe. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying there, and that was kind of my thought on, like, it's the reverse of Austin Wells. Thanks for the call, buddy. Like, Austin Wells, I'd rather him play, and even if it's two empty at-bats against the lefty to start, he's in the flow of the game. At-bats 3-4, better spot, where, as Aaron Judge is, and that's a good word, he's kind of lulled into it, where, now, I don't know if that was the ultimate factor in the last at-bat where he didn't swing the bat. That was a quality pitch, to reiterate, but... When you're not fed anything, you're almost conditioned to not check out because that's unfair to any pro athlete. But you know what I mean?
The human element that just you let down a little bit.
You're less sharp.
I would not have pitched to Judge in that spot. I don't care that Soto walked in front of him.
Yep.
I don't care if the bases were loaded. I'm walking Aaron Judge and having a tie game and dealing with it. Like, that's
you're not going to walk to make it a tie game.
I know that sounds extreme. I'm not pitching to Aaron Judge. Yeah, you're going to lose if you pitch to him generally.
You didn't lose last night, you know?
Somehow, Jake Diekman got him out. Now, I also think that, Judge was probably thinking along the lines of, they're not really going to pitch to me. They're going to pitch around me. The old, pitch around at bat.
Without actually intentionally
walking. Without actually doing it, which they did the majority of the night.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that's what he's thinking. And Diekman, got ahead of him with the first pitch strike. And then that nasty pitch to get him out.
Kitchen, Sal. That's a tough pitch. I mean, you got to tip the cap. I mean, whether or not Diekman's the answer down the road for the Mets. That's a quality pitch. He gets paid too.
I cannot believe that Jake watching along all night, you're thinking, how the hell are the Mets going to get through this? I got Ottavino and Nunez was okay, fine. He's the one guy maybe you trust. Maton, all right. Yeah, he's all right. Hanging on for dear life here. Who's closing this game out? Even Diaz, I wouldn't trust in that spot, especially against the top of the order.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Jake Diekman pitching with a 5 ERA or whatever it is. And he's able to get. I know he walked Soto, but still be able to get through that top of the order there and get Aaron Judge. Unbelievable what happened last night. And to me, you credit the Mets for winning another ballgame. We'll get to them a little bit, and there's a lot to like from the Mets and their win against the Yankees last night, but it's more about the
Fantasy Freaks and Geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees and their loss. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Tired of hearing, too, about, look at the run differential. Oh, look at the Yankees statistically, like Boone. Oh, we're a top offense. Enough. The stats don't mean anything because the majority of those stats were built earlier in the year. It's been now 7 weeks, and the Yankees have been a mess. 7 weeks. That's not a small sample. It's not a good team that goes into a rut of 3 weeks, which, by the way, would be a significant amount. Like, all right, you go into a, you lose a few series in a row, all right, maybe a couple weeks, whatever. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 7 weeks? I mean, you're talking about 2 months of a season nearly. This is not the same team that we saw early on. And I think they think that it's just about getting Giancarlo Stanton back. What I say to that? Good luck. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Yankees are that good, and this is all just Giancarlo Stanton. So as much as about Soto and Cole and Judge, really, Giancarlo is the MVP because clearly he goes down, they can't win. I mean, what is this? They lost Aaron Judge? Think about that.
I can't imagine that they think that. I know that there's some hope that Stanton can come back and do well, but, man, if they're that foolish and that short-sighted to basically put all of their hopes in that basket, that injury-prone basket, they're...
Well, they already did.
They're dumber than I thought.
Think about it. They already did. They already put their hopes in Giancarlo Stanton coming into the year. DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, Anthony. Like, they did this.
But I mean now. I mean, with this evidence smacking them in the face every night since June 15th.
Yeah, now, to be fair.
You've got to adjust your mindset.
To be fair, I know that they thought they were going to have Dominguez back. But again, that's not something that you could count on either.
Yeah.
Because he only played, what, seven, eight games? Okay, 7 games in the big leagues. And he was often hurt. So it wasn't like he was already hurt to start the year. It wasn't like he was there and going to be building up, you know, start of spring training and then in the minors and all that stuff throughout the course of the season and have him come up. You were hoping to get him back from a significant injury that he suffered a year ago. Oh, and he only played 7 games in his big league career. So, it, like, that's not a surefire thing anyway. That was the insurance policy for Stanton. Guess what happened? Stanton predictably goes down, which we all knew was going to happen, including the Yankees, and their insurance policy went down as well. So, I mean, and it's not just that. It's, look at LeMahieu. How could you justify running him out there every night?
Sal, these are things I honestly, I really don't know what to say anymore. Because it's so bad, and it's so alarming, and it's so, and it's been so obviously broken. DJ's done. Torres is a dog. I mean, it's that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
So if I'm saying this and I'm seeing this like every other Yankee fan, and they're seeing it and they're seeing something different, then there's no hope. They can't be seeing something different. What's paramount is that they do something about it, and I believe that they will.
Marco is calling from Queens. What's up, Marco?
How you guys doing? How you doing, BT? How you doing, Sal?
Hey, bud.
What's up, Marco?
I'm telling you, come next Tuesday at the trade deadline, they don't add two bats in field, then everyone should go. Absolute joke to run DJ and Gleyber out there every night. But yeah. I will say this. You get Jason Dominguez, you get Giancarlo Stanton. Say you bring in Elise Rengifo and a Jonathan India, the game changer changes everything. I believe it's one of the best offenses in America.
Yeah, well, Marco, that's why Sal and I disagree. Like, no, we're not disagreeing where they are now. I mean, this version is winning nothing. This version is going to be hanging off for dear life to get a wild card spot at this rate here. That's not the challenge here. My pushback and my challenge is that there is enough here to salvage this and salvage this in a big way. Now, there's other teams going to be knocking down doors to get players. How willing are the Yankees to part? Willing to part with their top prospects? These are questions that I honestly just don't have the answer to.
Right?
Like I'm telling everybody what they should do. I think everybody knows that what they will do. Those could be two totally different things. But there is a path to be dominant again.
There was a Jeff Passan report yesterday that said that the Yankees, I forget the exact wording of it, but basically that they would be open to trading either Spencer Jones and or Dominguez. And I'm not buying that. I'm sorry, I can't buy it. I know that seems what everybody's saying now.
Yeah.
I need to see it to believe it from Brian Cashman that they're actually going to trade. All of a sudden now, they literally wouldn't trade Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns to start the season. They didn't do it. And now all of a sudden, because Spencer Jones is striking out, oh, by the way, wow, what a shock. What a shock that Spencer Jones is striking out in the minors. Like, what'd you think he was going to be? Babe Ruth? You thought it was going to be Aaron Judge and Mickey Mantle? We still don't know. I'm not giving up on what Spencer Jones could be. My opinion on him has not changed one bit. I had no opinion on him because I can't buy into these prospects and the hype and all this stuff. But theirs has, because they wouldn't have traded them for... They didn't trade
them for Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns.
And now all of a sudden, we'd be open to trading Spencer Jones.
Okay, but why? Let's investigate that. It's called desperation. That's where they are.
That's a problem, though.
It could be. I mean, dealing from a position of weakness is never really a good thing. Leverage is kind of good in any negotiation, which they have none of right now. Everybody knows that they've got to retain Soto, and if they don't, you know, then things... But think about this. I mean, there could be two totally different worlds here. The Yankees can make two brilliant trades, whether it's like an O'Neill trade from back in the day with Roberto Kelly.
Yeah, right.
Whatever, you know, there have been some great trades along the way.
Right.
And they could go on and maybe win a World Series this year, right, and retain Soto. Or they could make two trades that they think will be great, and they give up, say, Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones, and then Soto leaves in the offseason. Like, you have to navigate that. Like, you have to incorporate that in your thought process. Like, they are two wildly different outcomes.
Well, at least they get the right guy making that decision.
I know that Cashman, one thing about Cashman, and I've got a lot of problems with Brian Cashman, I have for a long time, as the GM of the New York Yankees. When he believes that they can truly win it, he usually does the right thing. And I believe, with the right moves, they can truly win it.
John Carlo is calling from Bayside. What's up, John Carlo?
How's the hammy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, I'm going to throw something crazy out there. Just entertain me for a second, all right?
Good.
So we're at a point in the season where this team is down and out. We got to start thinking crazy. I think that lineup last night, any baseball mind out there from a little league coach to anybody, putting those three in the lineup was abysmal. So I'm thinking, is that Boone throwing it out there to Brian Cashman, who usually has the mindset we have the pieces to win, to show him, listen, we don't. We're losing with this. And try kind of light a little fire underneath him, maybe even Hal, to get something going?
Well, so that's interesting, Giancarlo. Thanks for the call. Listen, I think that's where it becomes unfair, because what you're really saying is that, yes, while he's trying to prove a point, he's also willing to increase the odds of losing, and I think that goes against everything that Aaron Boone stands for, so I'm going to defend him there. That also suggests that Aaron Boone has the ultimate power to construct the lineup, when I think it's more a collaborative effort. So, no, I don't think that's it. Basically, what he's saying, Sal, is that pencil in that lineup to illuminate how bad they are, which would force Cashman to wake up and make trades.
Buck Showalter would do something like that, not Aaron Boone, and not in today's game. Like, old-school managers might do that.
Bye-bye.
Aaron Boone is not doing that. I think to your point, BT, Boone and the collaborative effort of the Yankees front office, whoever comes up with the data to apply for that lineup, felt that was the best lineup to put out there. And it was pathetic and embarrassing. We all felt that way going in. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Typically, you rip all Yankee fans booing pants off of Grisham. We want Soto, and Grisham hits the home run. Like, sometimes that stuff happens. Last night, it played out exactly how everybody outside of the Yankees expected that Jones and J.D. Davis would be embarrassing, especially in those spots in the order, and they were.
Yeah, I mean, every time they came up, there were guys on base in a relatively decent or high-leverage situation, and they did nothing.
The Mets walked in, they wouldn't throw him a strike, which is the right thing to do. If you're the Red Sox, the Phillies, I don't care who it is, until the Yankees prove that they can beat you with you walking Judge, you have to walk him every single time.
I am surprised when you said at the open here, you're like, kind of already onto the Braves, and you've won three.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a chance to sweep them.
I mean, it'd be nice if they did, but taking three or four already.
Oh, yeah, no, you've already planted the flag on the 2024 season. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Blue and orange, understood.
Yeah, last night I was on the edge of my seat. I wanted that one.
You got a chance to knock them out with four and beat Garrett Cole?
I mean,
come on.
And could really start a tailspin to a point where if they get swept by the Mets, and then a Red Sox and Phillies
who run wild on them, and Philly might be, I know they're a little banged up, but might be the best team in baseball.
Right. Mm. Yeah, I'm not saying I don't want it, but I'm saying that mission already accomplished. Tonight it's a little gravy.
I can't refute it. It's a Mets town right now. At least in terms of, you know, these four games, of course.
What was that again?
it's a beautiful town here.
Hey, isn't it funny, though, BT? Ahead of the first series in June, legit, for weeks leading up to it, you and I were like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a slaughter. The Mets have no chance. This is not even going to be a meaningful Subway Series. And then the Mets started to come out of it a little bit.
I remember.
You know, end of May, started to play better, made it an interesting series. Then the Mets, in a non-competitive series, wiped the floor with the Yankees, regardless of the first score. It wasn't that close. Those two games were non-competitive. And now, again, last night, in a competitive game, but again, last night winning. It is remarkable. That's why we love sports. Nobody would ever think that that would be the case.
Well, to further that, I mean, as we were starting to construct our summer vacations, we were like, you know, even though we didn't really think the Subway Series would have a ton of juice because the Mets looked so bad at that point, we still wanted to be here for the audience. You know, right. Yankee fans to flex or Met fans if they happen to get hot to flex or, you know, react with venom. But we did not really think it would mean much. I mean, right now, Yankees bleeding out. Mets getting a little bouncy. They want to leave Jeff McNeil at the stadium. He looks like he could hit here.
I will say this. Tomorrow. Oh, we're not going to be here tomorrow, right? We're doing the show from...
we're out at the Joe Torre's outing. Yeah, Sleepy Hollow. It's going to be awesome.
I might be bringing a broom out there.
Okay.
And I'll hand it to Mr. T as well. Mm. Hey, Joe!
Never happened on
the news. Good morning, Joe Torre! Did you see the Mets sweep the Yankees?
Oh, didn't happen under his watch.
Man, we'd be some ex-Yankees there as well. Yeah,
not his problem.
That is true.
David Wells was his problem. We're going to ask him about David Wells. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up tomorrow, so have a good time.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326, and you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. You know, BT, the Yankees, look, anything could happen. It's sports, right? So we've seen teams before, like the Nationals in 2019, whatever, turn it around and go out there and win a World Series. So everything technically is still out in front of the Yankees, and it does seem crazy when you look at the numbers, whether it's the Yankees' offensive numbers, the run differential, where they are in the standings. Like, everything is still right there. But if you erase all that and watch this team, I'm sorry. I'm going to need to see them do it. And not only do it in the regular season now, because they haven't done it in 7 weeks, but do it at a high level in October. Until they actually do it, I'm just not going to believe in them. They could go on a tear, win 120 games, whatever it may be now, whatever their peak win total could be, win the division. I'm still not going to buy into this team until I actually see them do it in October, because we've seen so many times for years the same thing. At times promising, other times looks pathetic. And there's been this roller coaster really since 2017, Game 7 ALCS, where they reached their peak as a group. I know changes were made after that, but they haven't been back to that point since, and I feel like it's only gotten worse for the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't believe in this team at all. I wouldn't stamp them anything, no matter what they do before the trade deadline, but I would definitely have a renewed sense of conviction and belief if they make the trades that I think they're going to try to make. Like, if they actually deliver, and you've got two bats and a higher leverage flamethrowing arm in the pen, that's what I think they're going for. I don't think they're going for one bat. I don't think they're going for, you know, just Chad Green. I mean, I think they're going for the moon. I think that they know, and again, you and I fundamentally disagree. I think that they think, because maybe, you know, Noah's a little bit too much of a leap of faith here, but I would sense that they strongly surmise that they are in the realm of a championship team if they do the right things. Now, that's not applicable to every season. When Aaron Judge got hurt last year in L.A., you know, there was nowhere to go. It didn't matter what they did. They weren't going to be much more than an 80-something win team, and they had no hope. This year's different. Garrett Cole's back healthy. And by the way, very quietly, you know, Luis Gil, I know the Mets, you know, put a couple of that one, I think that was the fifth inning or the sixth. I believe it was the fifth. He's turned it around for sure. But even when the Mets touched him up a little bit and he labored a bit, I mean, one was a little, you know, excuse me, check swing that went down the third base line, you know, from McNeil, a little bloop to right field. Like, he wasn't even squared up. He pitched very well. So,
end of the bat, base hit to right that McNeil should have been at third for.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So with Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil, you've got the framework of a dominant staff.
You've got
two of the best players in baseball. You got a chance. You just got to go all the way. You got to swing.
My only concern there would be it's not about Gil's performance. I think now he's righted the ship and turned the corner back, and I like to see that. You go through a little adversity and bounce back. So he's done that. So I trust him as far as performance goes. I don't know, though, about the workload / innings limit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is that? We're talking about October. We're still months away from that. So, yeah, it looks great right now as a 1-2 punch, as we envisioned a couple of months ago, but is that going to hold up in October? So that's my only issue about Luis Gil. You know, Rodon, I don't trust. Stroman, whatever. Cortez, I like him as a pitcher, a battler, but again, like, you trust him in a big spot? No. The bullpen overall? No. Holmes even, and he's the best guy. I don't trust it. Lineup, same thing. Oh, and by the way, then they have to stay healthy. Like, if let's say they make those two moves in the lineup and get that flamethrower out of the bullpen that you're talking about. What if Judge goes down then?
Well, I mean, we could sit there and say what if Jalen Brunson goes down?
But,
what if Rodgers goes down? What if,
my point is it should be more than, it should be a team.
Yeah.
More like they can't survive Stan going down apparently. So imagine if Judge goes down. Will those two pieces be enough? It should be. Like, in theory,
with Soto, it should be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I
with
agree.
Soto plus these two big pieces that you're talking about, like, they should have enough of a team to be able to legitimately compete, and I'm not so sure that they do, even with those, you know, potential additions that they might make. Right now, it's ugly for the Yanks, and it's been like that for a prolonged period. It needs to change. Ed is in Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Gosh, there's so many things to say about the Yankees. I'll just stick with this. I've been a Brian Cashman supporter. I continue to be. And I look at their record, and you see what they did in the first half of the season. They did it without Cole. So there's a huge chunk of
Hold on. Listen, I got to ask you a question. I got to ask you something before you start running through everything that we already know. So, all right, it's your opinion. I respect it. I vehemently disagree. But can you please outline... It's one thing to have supported and believed in Brian Cashman for a long time. He earned that. You said you still believe in him and still support him. Why?
For what he didn't do. He didn't trade away. Because who were your two best pitchers in the first half? It was Gil and Schmidt.
Okay.
And they very easily could have been traded for Snell, who was horrible. To his credit, he's been good the last three starts after the IL.
Okay.
And for Montgomery.
Well,
you don't
Snell
hear
was
about
a free,
that.
Snell was
How
a
much worse would their record be
Snell
if they were in the
agent.
Starting rotation?
Snell was a free agent.
They still wouldn't have been in the starting rotation.
All right, so Ed, hold on. You have full faith. Like, you truly, I mean, you sound like the yes man, not me. And David Wells is talking to Eddie and Mohegan.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What in the world gives you this unflinching faith that Cashman knows what he's doing in 2024?
Because as bad as they've played since, and ironically, it's been since Cole came back. I don't know if there's a connection.
No, there's not.
But as bad as they've played, they're still a top three team in the American League. They're only a game and a half out of first.
There we go. Cue up the band.
Ed, watch them play.
Cue up the band.
You're giving all the stats.
That.
Like, we can look at the standings, too. We know the stats.
All right, fine.
Yeah, give me the run differential. Watch them play. Have they looked like a top three team in any aspect whatsoever for the last 7 weeks at any point?
What about
not lately, but I'm looking at the season as – I'm not lately. Of course not. Not over the past 7 weeks, but I'm looking at the season as a whole.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do, they can get hot at any time. Their pitching has been – their pitching was horrible.
Their pitching was, and thanks for the call, Ed, their pitching was what was carrying them to start the year. Yes, Soto was incredible. Remember, Judge didn't even perform well the first month, so they did overcome it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it's not that he wasn't there. He was there, but he didn't do anything.
It was awful.
It was the starting pitching that was terrific, and the bullpen was terrific.
Yeah, and Verdugo. Oswaldo Cabrera was pretty good.
Verdugo.
And
Volpe.
Verdugo and Soto, yes.
And Volpe was going nuts. They had other guys contributing. Verdugo has been a zero. Giancarlo Stanton has been out, predictably so, but he's been out. They were over. You know, LeMahieu, since he's come back, he hasn't done anything. And they overcame it initially, but BT, this is a...
I mean, they've won, what, one series?
Yes.
And that was against the Orioles. And even that series, they couldn't even win it right because they should have swept them.
Yeah.
And they blew it in horrific fashion.
Yeah, with two defensive, you know, miscues. You probably won't see the rest of the year. A seven-hopper that, you know, a 10-year-old shortstop's going to make.
Yeah.
And listen, I love Volpe, but he just botched it. And Verdugo's on skates running in circles in left field. I don't know what the hell happened there. I don't understand that last call. I do understand maybe not being as raw or as blunt, maybe as my assessment, although I know a lot of you agree with me, pertaining to Cashman. I understand there's two sides of the equation, which is why I always try to point out that he is a Hall of Famer. He's done a lot good. I do respect him. He's a multi-time champion. But that doesn't correlate to trust now. I mean, it's not just this year. Last year was nothing. The year before that, they could have lost to the Guardians. They got swept by the Astros.
Right.
Just hasn't done a good job.
That's my point, is that this has gotten worse here. If you trace it back to 2021, really, it's gone downhill for the Yankees. And even though I was fooled to begin this season because they were playing like the best team we'd ever seen with that Soto effect in the lineup, it's changed now to a significant point to where they look like one of the worst teams with the talent that they have, specifically with Judge Soto and Gerrit Cole.
Not his problem.
That is true.
David Wells was his problem. We're going to ask him about David Wells. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up tomorrow, so have a good time.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326, and you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. You know, BT, the Yankees, look, anything could happen. It's sports, right? So we've seen teams before, like the Nationals in 2019, whatever, turn it around and go out there and win a World Series. So everything technically is still out in front of the Yankees. And it does seem crazy when you look at the numbers, whether it's the Yankees' offensive numbers, the run differential, where they are in the standings. Like, everything is still right there. But if you erase all that and watch this team, I'm sorry. I'm going to need to see them do it. And not only do it in the regular season now, because they haven't done it in 7 weeks, but do it at a high level in October. Until they actually do it, I'm just not going to believe in them. They could go on a tear, win 120 games, whatever it may be now, whatever their peak win total could be, win the division. I'm still not going to buy into this team until I actually see them do it in October, because we've seen so many times for years the same thing. At times promising, other times looks pathetic. And there's been this roller coaster really since 2017, Game 7 ALCS, where they reached their peak as a group. I know changes were made after that, but they haven't been back to that point since, and I feel like it's only gotten worse for the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't believe in this team at all. I wouldn't stamp them anything, no matter what they do before the trade deadline, but I would definitely have a renewed sense of conviction and belief if they make the trades that I think they're going to try to make. Like, if they actually deliver, and you've got two bats and a higher leverage flame-throwing arm in the pen, that's what I think they're going for. I don't think they're going for one bat. I don't think they're going for, you know, just Chad Green. I mean, I think they're going for the moon. I think that they know, and again, you and I fundamentally disagree. I think that they think, because maybe, you know, Noah's a little bit too much of a leap of faith here, but I would sense that they strongly surmise that they are in the realm of a championship team if they do the right things. Now, that's not applicable to every season. When Aaron Judge got hurt last year in L.A., you know, there was nowhere to go. It didn't matter what they did. They weren't going to be much more than an 80-something win team, and they had no hope. This year's different. Gerrit Cole's back healthy. And by the way, very quietly, you know, Luis Gil, I know the Mets, you know, put a couple of that one. I think that was the fifth inning or the sixth. I believe it was the fifth. He's turned it around for sure. But even when the Mets touched him up a little bit and he labored a bit, I mean, one was a little, you know, excuse me, check swing that went down the third base line, you know, from McNeil, a little bloop to right field. Like, he wasn't even squared up. He pitched very well. So,
end of the bat, base hit to right, that McNeil should have been at third, fourth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So with Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil, you've got the framework of a dominant staff.
My only concern,
two of the best players in baseball. You got a chance. You just got to go all the way. You got to swing.
My only concern there would be it's not about Gil's performance. I think now he's righted the ship and turned the corner back, and I like to see that. You go through a little adversity and bounce back. So he's done that. So I trust him as far as performance goes. I don't know, though, about the workload / innings limit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is that? We're talking about October. We're still months away from that. So, yeah, it looks great right now as a 1-2 punch, as we envisioned a couple of months ago, but is that going to hold up in October? So that's my only issue about Luis Gil. You know, Rodon, I don't trust. Stroman, whatever. Cortez, I like him as a pitcher, a battler. But again, like, you trust him in a big spot? No. The bullpen overall? No. Holmes even, and he's the best guy. I don't trust it. Lineup, same thing. Oh, and by the way, then they have to stay healthy. Like, if let's say they make those two moves in the lineup and get that flamethrower out of the bullpen that you're talking about. What if Judge goes down then?
Well, I mean, we could sit there and say what if Jalen Brunson goes down?
But,
what if Rodgers goes down? What if,
my point is it should be more than, it should be a team.
Yeah.
More like they can't survive Stan going down apparently. So imagine if Judge goes down. Will those two pieces be enough? It should be. Like, in theory,
with Soto, it should be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I
with
agree.
Soto, plus these two big pieces that you're talking about, like, they should have enough of a team to be able to legitimately compete, and I'm not so sure that they do, even with those, potential additions that they might make. Right now, it's ugly for the Yanks, and it's been like that for a prolonged period. It needs to change. Ed is in Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Gosh, there's so many things to say about the Yankees. I'll just stick with this. I've been a Brian Cashman supporter. I continue to be. And I look at the record, and you see what they did in the first half of the season. They did it without Cole. So there's a huge chunk of
Hold on. Listen, I got to ask you a question. I got to ask you something before you start running through everything that we already know. So, all right, it's your opinion. I respect it. I vehemently disagree. But can you please outline... It's one thing to have supported and believed in Brian Cashman for a long time. He earned that. You said you still believe in him and still support him. Why?
For what he didn't do. He didn't trade away. Because who were your two best pitchers in the first half? It was Gil and Schmidt.
Okay.
And they very easily could have been traded for Snell, who was horrible. To his credit, he's been good the last three starts after the IL.
Okay.
And for Montgomery.
Well,
you don't hear about
free,
that.
Snell was
How
a free
much worse would
a
their record be
Snell
if they were in the starting rotation?
Snell was a free agent.
They still wouldn't have been in the starting rotation.
All right, so Ed, hold on. You have full faith. Like, you truly, I mean, you sound like the yes man, not me. And David Wells is talking to Eddie and Mohegan.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What in the world gives you this unflinching faith that Cashman knows what he's doing in 2024?
Because as bad as they've played since, and ironically, it's been since Cole came back. I don't know if there's a connection.
No, there's not.
But as bad as they've played, they're still a top three team in the American League. They're only a game and a half out of first.
There we go. Cue up the band.
Ed, watch them play.
Cue up the band.
You're giving all the stats.
That.
Like, we can look at the standings, too. We know the stats.
All right, fine.
Yeah, give me the run differential. Watch them play. Have they looked like a top three team in any aspect whatsoever for the last 7 weeks at any point?
What about
not
last
lately,
year?
But I'm looking at the season as – I'm not lately. Of course not. Not over the past 7 weeks. But I'm looking at the season as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do, they can get hot at any time. Their pitching has been – their pitching was horrible.
Their pitching was, and thanks for the call, Ed. Their pitching was what was carrying them to start the year. Yes, Soto was incredible. Remember, Judge didn't even perform all the first month, so they did overcome it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it's not that he wasn't there. He was there, but he didn't do anything.
It was awful.
It was the starting pitching that was terrific, and the bullpen was terrific.
Yeah, and Verdugo. Oswaldo Cabrera was pretty good.
Verdugo.
And
Volpe.
Verdugo and Soto, yes.
And Volpe was going nuts. Like, they had other guys contributing. Verdugo has been a zero. Carlos Stanton has been out, predictably so, but he's been out. They were over. LeMay, since he's come back, he hasn't done anything. And they overcame it initially, but BT, they've won what, one series?
Yes.
And that was against the Orioles. And even that series, they couldn't even win it right because they should have swept them.
Yeah.
And they blew it in horrific fashion.
Yeah, with two defensive, miscues. You probably won't see the rest of the year. A seven hopper that, a 10-year-old shortstop's going to make.
Yeah.
I love Volpe, but he just botched it. And Verdugo's on skates running in circles in left field. I don't know what the hell happened there. I don't understand that last call. I do understand maybe not being as raw or as blunt maybe as my assessment, although I know a lot of you agree with me, pertaining to Cashman. I understand there's two sides of the equation, which is why I always try to point out
right.
that he is a Hall of Famer. He's done a lot good. I do respect him. He's a multi-time champion. But that doesn't correlate to trust now. I mean, it's not just this year. Last year was nothing. The year before that, they could have lost to the Guardians. They got swept by the Astros.
Right.
Just hasn't done a good job.
That's my point, is that this has gotten worse here. If you trace it back to 2021, really, it's gone downhill for the Yankees. And even though I was fooled to begin this season because they were playing like the best team we'd ever seen with that Soto effect in the lineup, it's changed now to a significant point to where they look like one of the worst teams with the talent that they have, specifically with Judge Soto and Gerrit Cole.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.